Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special teaching on reigning in life was recorded at our 2012 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
All right, we've been sharing out of the book of Romans nearly exclusively during this deal. And we started, let me just go back and read a couple of verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness." Notice you need grace and righteousness. God's grace has come to everybody, and if you got born again and received it, you have been made righteous, but you've got to understand that. So you have to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In verse 21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." If you don't understand your right standing with God, which is just a real simple interpretation of what the word righteousness means, then grace will not reign in your life. It won't dominate. It won't control you. And this is where I think that a lot of people are living. They believe God can do anything, but they don't believe that He has done it yet. They don't know what is true on the inside. They are seeing themselves on the outside with their failures and stuff, and they think that that's who they are, and they don't have a concept of who they are in Christ Jesus. And because of that, grace isn't reigning in their life. So I spent two sessions, I believe, dealing with that. And then in Romans chapter 6, we spent two sessions dealing with what he goes on to say about if this is true, that it's all the grace of God, and if you've already had your sins forgiven, and if you've got a new nature, and if you're in right standing with God, then does it mean that your actions in the physical realm are unimportant? That's what he's saying. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer to this is an absolute, unqualified negative. No, that's not what he's saying. But the church has basically said the reason you live holy is to earn God's favor and blessing. And if you don't live holy, God won't answer your prayers. God won't use you. God won't bless you. God will take His joy away. And people blame God for the one that's turning off the spigot. And that's the reason you don't feel joy. And that's the reason you don't feel the love of God, is because God is upset with you and He's withdrawn His fellowship. That's basically what the church teaches nearly universally, and that is not so. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never get tired of you. He does not deal with you based on your performance. God loves you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. Amen? You can't make Him love you more, and you can't make Him love you less. Man, that's good news. But that begs the question, well then, can I just go live in sin? If you do, it's because you don't understand what's happened. First of all, he says that when you got born again, you died to sin. That doesn't mean it's impossible for you to commit an action of sin, but you are dead to that sin nature that was inside of you that Ephesians chapter 1 calls the nature of the devil. It died. It's gone. You do not have a sin nature. You do not have a part of you that is part devil. Before you got born again, every person was part devil. People don't like to hear that, but that, you know, I've referred to this at least four or five times. Let me just turn over here and read this real quickly, and I'm going to come right back. Maybe. Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "And you hath He quickened." The word quickened means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." People don't like to hear this, but you know what? There is a spirit at work in people who are not born again, and it is the prince of the power of the air that's talking about the devil. The Bible also talks about that there's a spirit of Antichrist. And did you know, most people don't like this, but there is a spirit of Antichrist that is work in this world. People don't curse Buddha. People don't swear by Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. People don't invoke the name of Muhammad. You know why? Because there's no power in any of those names. But I guarantee you, people blaspheme God and they swear by Jesus and they say things, and there is a demonic attack against God. In this nation today, you can be any kind of weirdness and pervert that you want to be, and if anybody says anything about it, they call you some kind of a homophobe or a hater or whatever, and they persecute you. They don't persecute people who are into sin and who are doing things wrong. Even if you murder somebody, they try and figure out what it was in your background that abused you and made you this way. But you stand up and say that I'm for a godly marriage and I'm for morality, and you will be persecuted. There is a spirit of Antichrist. And people just, they think, why is it that Christians are the only people that it's game to come out against? It's because there's a demonic spirit at work in our world, and many of us don't even recognize it. We watch it and we pay money to have that pumped into our house every day. But it is a spirit of Antichrist. There is a spirit at work in the children of disobedience. And then in verse 3, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before you get born again, you have a spirit that is separated from God. In Genesis chapter 3, or you could even go back to chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day you eat of it, in the day you eat of it, you will die. They ate of that tree in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and they didn't die that exact day physically. It was 930 years before Adam died. So how do you reconcile these? There's a couple of ways to do it, but one of the simple explanations is that they did die at that exact moment in their spirit man. The word death in the Bible, we take it as dead means the end. It's over. You cease to exist. But there is no such thing as death in that sense. People who die do not cease to exist. Their body may go into the ground and decay, but the Scripture says in James chapter 2, verse 26, that their spirit is immediately taken either unto God or into a Christless eternity. Nobody escapes. There is no such thing as ceasing to exist. You just either leave your body and go to heaven or you go to hell. But you still exist. What happens is the word death in the Bible really means separation. Adam and Eve were separated at the moment they sinned and rebelled at God. The life that He had breathed into them, it ceased to give the godly influence and the godly life to them that God intended it to have. And they became by nature a child of the devil at the moment that they sinned. And they had a sin nature, and they reproduced. Every person that's ever been born on the face of the earth was born with a sin nature. And so they were separated from God. Their nature still functioned. It was still alive, but it was functioning now under the influence of the devil instead of being under the influence of God. And so sin was reigning. The sin nature was reigning unto death. And regardless of how much you tried to overcome it, all you could ever do was have behavior modification. You might be able to restrain some of the things, but the lust was still there. And Jesus revealed that in your heart, even if you don't commit the action, you're still guilty if you lust in your heart. Your nature was still there and you were still corrupt. You might have restrained the outward manifestation of it, but there was still this sin on a heart level. And so all of us were by nature a child of wrath. But when you get born again, Romans chapter 6 was saying that you are dead to that. That you are now separated from that nature. That old sin nature is not in you anymore once you get born again. You now have the nature of God placed on the inside of you. So why then do I still seem like it's easier to sin than it is to live holy? Why is it easier to get mad than it is to walk in love? Why is it harder to turn the other cheek than it is to just hit them? It's because your old man spent decades training you how to think and how to be selfish and how to do all of these things and put yourself ahead of everybody else. And you aren't dealing now with the old man. There isn't a nature that compels you to live in sin. You have just been taught wrong. And the Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think is the way you are going to act. You can deviate a tiny bit, but your life will go the direction of your dominant thought. And if you have been taught wrong and taught to think that if I don't take care of myself, nobody else will, that's going to make you a paranoid person. It's going to make you insecure. It'll make you stab others in the back instead of turning the other cheek and doing the right thing. And if you have that mindset, if that's your philosophy, then it leads to death. And you will experience death and all of these problems, even though you no longer are compelled to live that way. It's because you haven't renewed your mind. So the most important thing that a Christian can do once you're born again is stick your nose in the Bible and study it until you learn how God thinks and what God's values are. And you learn to respond and value what God values. And when you change your mind, it's a simple majority. You got three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is identical to Jesus. It has the mind of Christ. It has love, joy, and peace, and all of these things. Your spirit is perfect. And all you got to do is get your mind in agreement with your spirit, and that's two against one. And your body will experience healing. It'll begin to experience prosperity. It'll begin to experience joy and peace and happiness, and you'll find out that it just automatically, as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way he'll be.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on reigning in life. This five-part series was recorded at our 2012 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM252 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
If these radio broadcasts have been a blessing to you, I would like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, we have people that give sometimes when they order materials, and we appreciate that. We appreciate any way you want to participate. But our bills come in on a monthly basis. And really, the backbone of this ministry are the people who become partners with us and give on a regular basis. And I would like to encourage you to pray about this. You know, we spend well over $1 million a month just on radio and television airtime. That's not including the materials, staff, other things. There's a lot of needs. We couldn't do this if it wasn't for partners. So I encourage you to pray about it. And if the Lord says so, become a partner with us today.